We're good? Good. Well, good start. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is really good to see everyone here this morning. And do I dare say it is a treat to be with you this morning? Just had to get that out of the way. To our visitors, I just want to echo what Craig said this morning and that we are truly grateful for your presence and welcome you back at any opportunity that you have. If this is your first time visiting with us, there are visitors packets at each of the three exits of the auditorium, and if you haven't already, please pick one up and learn a little bit about us and give us an opportunity to learn a little bit about you. If you'll please fill out the visitor's card and return it to us. It's not said nearly often enough, but we're grateful for the presence of our members also. What a great opportunity we have to gather together to worship God and to edify one another. Have you ever thought about how many decisions that you've probably made in your lifetime? How many decisions you've made just in a daily period, in a 24-hour period? If you believe Mark Glover, he says that the average American makes about 35,000 decisions a day. How many? I didn't even know I made 35,000 decisions in a lifetime. And no, I didn't test it. I didn't say, okay, there's one decision, two decision. Better things to do with my time. That's a decision. But what kind of decisions do we make normally on a daily basis or throughout our lifetime? Some are trivial, some are more important. Some of the decisions that we might make is when that alarm clock goes off in the morning, do we hit the snooze button? If you think 15 extra minutes of sleep is going to help you, you're in for a long day, in my opinion. What do we eat? I dare say that any conversation that we have after services this morning is going to circle around the decision, where are we going to eat? It's a decision that most of us make every day. If we commute, where is that shortcut? What is the most convenient or the quickest way to get home? Let me let you in on a little secret. There's not one. There is no quick way home. But then we have more important decisions that we make in our life. You know, when we graduate from school, we have this decision. You know, what do I want to do with my life as far as a career? What kind of job do I want to take? Do I want to get married? If I do want to get married, who do I want to spend the rest of my life with? And then when you do get married, then you decide, do we want to have kids or not? And if we do want to have kids, how many of those precious, well-behaved children do we really want to have? So these are all sorts of decisions that we make in our, not just our everyday life, but in our entire lifetime. But the most important decision that you'll ever make is to serve God and to serve God faithfully. And really, it's an all or nothing decision. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verse 23. In Luke chapter 11, verse 23, the Lord says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." You see, it's an all or nothing proposition. It's not some, it's not part, it's not a piece, it's all or nothing. We can't go through God's word and cherry pick how we want to serve God. Or in another way to put it, it's not cafeteria style. Now we're all familiar with, I hope, all familiar with the cafeteria, right? You get to pick and choose what you want to eat. You get a tray, you go to the beginning of the line, nice lady asks you, do you want a salad? No, I do not want a salad. You go through the line, I'll take the chopped beef with brown gravy, not cream gravy. I want broccoli, no cheese, fried okra. I'll take a wheat roll and give me a glass of water. You get to pick and choose what you want. But that doesn't apply when it comes to serving God. You can't go up to God and say, you know, baptism for the remission of sins, sure, I'll take that. Do not steal, yep, I'll take that. That sounds good. Sing and make melody, or excuse me, do not murder, I'll take that. Sing and make melody in your heart, sounds good, I'll take that. Love your neighbor as yourself, ooh. No, I don't know if people deserve to be treated as well as I do. I don't want to take that, Lord, that's okay. Do not lie. You know, I do have to tell white lies every once in a while so I can advance in my career, so I can, you know, make more money. I don't want to take that. What about do not forsake the assembly? Yeah, I'll take that, as long as it doesn't apply to a big sporting event or to my daughter's soccer game or my son's band concert or, dare I say, Bible class. And let me put a plug in real quick for our Bible classes here at Kleinwood. We have an awesome Bible class program here. If you've been anywhere else, you know how great our Bible class program here. And if you're not taking advantage of that, you're not taking advantage of an awesome, awesome growth opportunity as a Christian. Many men and women have put in timeless hours and used many talents to make sure that our Bible classes are designed in such a way that our children can learn from them. Even our adult classes. You know, I dare say, with no offense to anyone who preaches from this pulpit from time to time, I actually learn more from a Bible class sometimes than I do from the sermon. It's a great opportunity to interact with other Christians, to discuss God's Word, to make application so that we can be better Christians. But again, serving God, it's an all-or-nothing service to God. Again, Christ said, you're either with me, or you're against me. You're either gathering with me or you're scattering. Turn to Matthew 22, verse 37. I'm going to look at that in just a second. Some of us believe that we can be part-time Christians. Some of us believe that when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment of all, that Jesus replied and said, love the Lord your God with some of your heart and with a piece of your soul and part of your mind. Is that what Jesus said? No, it's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, Lord, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. Again, you're either with me or you're against me or you're gathering or you're spreading, scattering. So this morning, in the time that we have left, I want to look at some examples of some decisions that some men made in the Old and New Testament. There are several examples in the Old and New Testament of decisions to serve and not to serve God. And with our remaining time, I would like to look at Joshua and Felix and Demas. And as we study each one of these men, I want us to look at the decisions that they made. What were their decisions concerning serving God? And also, I'd like for us to examine ourselves to see with whom we align our decision to serve or not to serve God. So first, let's look at Joshua. Most of us are real familiar with Joshua. He was probably nearly 40 years of age when he shared in the hurried triumph of the Exodus, when the children of Israel left the bondage of Egypt. He's actually mentioned first in connection with the fight against Amalek at Rephidim, when he is chosen by Moses to lead the Israelites in that battle in Exodus 17, verse 9. Soon afterwards, he was one of the 12 tribes who was sent in Numbers 13 and verse 17 to explore the land of Canaan. And he was one of two in Numbers 14 and verse 6 who gave an encouraging report of their journey along with Caleb. And then after the death of Moses, God commissions Joshua to become the new leader of the Israelites and to lead them into the promised land in Joshua 1 and verse 1. And toward the end of Joshua's life, he delivers two solemn addresses. You can find those in Joshua chapter 23 and Joshua 24. And if you turn to Joshua 24 and verse 15, we're going to look at that one in just a second. He ends up dying at the age of 110. I suggest to you that Joshua made a lifelong commitment to serving God. He addresses the people in Joshua 24:15 towards the end of his life. And he says, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, at first, Joshua challenges the Israelites somewhat sarcastically. He tells them, you know, choose who you're going to serve. He basically tells them it doesn't really matter who you're going to serve. You can serve this tree, you can serve this rock, you can serve these other gods. It doesn't really matter if you're not going to serve the one true living God. And Joshua tells the people, he says, "I am going to serve the Lord. I am going to be an example to my family. My family will serve the Lord." When do you think Joshua made this decision? You think he just decided that morning when he got up, you know, he said, "You know what? You know, I'm going to decide to serve the Lord. And I'm going to tell the Israelite people that before I die, you know, I have decided now to serve the Lord and they should follow." You know, I would suggest that Joshua made that decision many years ago. He made that decision during his youth, before he became their leader, before he spied out the land, before the exodus from Egypt. That from his youth, he made that decision to follow the Lord. And because of that, every subsequent decision that he made throughout his life, he'd already made up his mind to serve the Lord. So every subsequent decision that he made, he kept in mind his service to the Lord. So quick question, show up to worship service this morning. When did we decide that we were going to come and to gather with our Christian family and worship God and edify one another? Did we wait till 8:45 this morning? And I got 15 minutes to get the Bible class. I better hurry. Did we decide last night before we went to bed? Or did we decide earlier in our life? We have people in this auditorium this morning that are in their 70s and 80s, and they have been Christians most, if not all, of their adult life. I would suggest to you that they decided some 50 or 60 years ago that they were going to love their neighbor as themselves. I would suggest to you that 50 to 60 years ago that they decided they were going to love the Lord with all of their heart and all of their soul in all of their mind. And yes, I would even suggest to you that 50 or 60 years ago that they decided on July 27th, 2014, that I was going to attend Bible class, that I was going to attend worship service and worship God and edify one another and learn from His Word. Serving God is a commitment. It's a lifelong commitment. And that was the decision that Joshua made early in his life, and he maintained that dedication until his death. And this should be our commitment. Serving God is who we are. It's who we are. It's not what we do. It's not a checklist. It's a way of life. It's who we are. It's what we dedicated our lives to when we became Christians. Are we a Joshua? The second character I'd like to look at is Felix. We know not quite as much about Felix as we did Joshua, but we know a bit. If you'll turn to Acts 24, most of what we know comes from this passage. We do know he was a Roman agent of Judea, and he was appointed by the Emperor Claudius in the year 53. And we actually meet him when Paul is brought before him in Caesarea in Acts 24. And it's in this chapter we kind of get a glimpse of his character when Felix sends Paul back to prison for 2 more years, hoping that he could extort some money out of him. We find that in verses 26 and 27 of Acts 24. But a couple of little interesting insights into Felix. We know his wife. His wife was Drusilla. He was a Jew. She was the daughter of Herod, Agrippa I. And possibly because of this, Felix had some insight into the Jewish religion and some knowledge about the one true God. And another interesting verse that we kind of overlook sometime, in verse 22, it says that he had a more excellent knowledge about Christianity, about the way. So he knew about Christianity. He knew about the followers of Christ. He knew about Jesus. But what happens to Felix when Paul speaks to him about Jesus? Acts 24, verses 24 and 25, it says, "But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, 'Go away for the present, for when I find time, I will summon you.'" Look at the reaction of Felix. He's scared. He's frightened. And what does he tell Paul? He basically tells Paul, says, "Look, don't call me. I'll call you when I'm ready to follow Jesus." I'm convinced Felix was scared because he really knew what he needed to do to be saved. He had enough knowledge, even before talking to Paul, about Jesus, and he knew what to be saved. But why was he so indecisive? Why was Felix so indecisive when it came to committing to God? Well, let me suggest to you, it's the same reasons that we become indecisive about serving God. I don't want to spend all the time it takes to serve the Lord. I got other things I want to do. Or I don't want to lose any power that I may have or that I may obtain to serve God. I don't want to lose my job and therefore my income if I serve God. I will lose all of that. I might even lose my friends. I might even lose my family if I serve God. Or we might say, I just wish people would quit telling me what's wrong with the way I'm living. I don't want to change. Maybe that was Felix. Maybe that's why Felix was so indecisive. He really didn't want to change who he was. Indecision will keep us from serving God faithfully. And when we rationalize the thought that if we don't make a decision, we're safe, it's not true. By choosing not to decide, we are still making a choice. Not deciding to serve God is still a decision. It's a decision not to obey God. Are we a Felix? And then finally, I'd like to look at Demas. Now, Demas is a character in the New Testament that we don't know a whole lot about. But what we do know, we know enough about him, and we've learned from Paul's letter to Philemon and Paul's second letter to Timothy. Turn with me to Philemon, the book of Philemon, and we'll look at the verses 23 and 24. Paul's writing to Philemon, and toward the conclusion of his letter from Rome, he's a prisoner in Rome, he writes, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers." I want to focus on that last description, "my fellow workers." It implies that Demas was helping Paul preach the gospel. It implies that at one time he made a decision to follow God and to help Paul preach the gospel. Now, this letter was written to Philemon about the year 60. But let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, and the first part of verse 10. Something happens by the time Paul writes his second letter to Timothy, and this is written about the year 67, so we're only talking about 7 years later. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, make every effort to come to me soon, to come to him in Rome. He said, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. What happened to Demas? Suggests that his priorities shifted, that he decided not to serve God any longer. It says, Demas, having loved this present world, and I've heard many things about this term, this phrase, love this present world, anywhere from living it up, going completely wild, to something more subtle, as in focusing on the cares or the riches or the pleasures of this temporal world. Whatever the case, he decided that he was going to put everything this world had to offer ahead of God, including his job, whatever job he decided to do, his family, his children. He needed to, the same can be true for us today. We can put our work ahead of God. We can decide, I need to spend more time working so I can make more money, so I can enjoy more of the pleasures of this earth. Or I need to spend more time with my spouse. Maybe my spouse has decided not to follow the Lord anymore, and she's discouraging me from attending and serving the Lord. Or maybe my children have schoolwork, and I have to make sure they get that done before they get their Bible lesson done. Or maybe I need to encourage them and take my daughter to her soccer game before serving the Lord. Maybe I need to encourage my child by attending the band concert. Whatever it is, putting those cares of the world ahead of God. And I mention these three because these are probably the most subtle ways that Satan can sneak into our lives and allow us to put those things above God. Our job, our wife, our spouse, our children, taking care of those and fulfilling those responsibilities, they're not sinful in themselves. They only become sinful when we decide that we're going to put those above God and above serving God. However, when this happens, because now we place God nowhere near the top of our priorities, this allows additional sin to creep in. And then ultimately, we just push God completely out of the picture altogether. Serving God was no longer the priority of Demas. And we should continually examine our lives and ask, you know, what is our priority? Is it the world or is it God? Are we a Demas? So who are we this morning in conclusion? Who are we? Are we faithfully serving God? God bless you. Keep serving God. Serve God to your dying day. Encourage others. Teach others to serve the one true living God. Be that encouragement to one another. But are we decisive about serving God? Are we putting off serving God? Well, this morning, put off those reservations. Make that decision to submit to God through baptism, and you can, washing away your sins, and you can leave this building a new creature, a Christian, a true follower of God, and devote and dedicate and make that decision to spend the rest of your life serving the Lord. Or we may be here, and we may have made that commitment to serve the Lord at one time, and then we turned our dedication to the world. Turn back to the Lord, and if need be, ask for the prayers of this congregation to get you back on track with God. Ask God for forgiveness and rededicate your life to serving the Lord. We make a lot of decisions in our lives. Some of them are minor. Some of them are moderate. Some of them are major decisions. Some of them are easy to make. Some of them are difficult to make. But we own them. They're our decisions. We make them. We live with them. And we have to answer for them in the day of judgment. This morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask for you, please come right now as we stand and as we sing.